episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected is brought to you by Bridgeside Medical Clinic, Chesapeake Integrated Behavioral Healthcare, and Edgar Casey's ARE.
Now more than ever, we have an opportunity to be a positive force in the world, to help heal the divide, to treat each other and ourselves with respect. But with so many tools out there, from meditation to physical training, proper nutrition, therapy, and so many others, we all need a little help navigating all the options. Join us as we share in-depth information, insights, and thought-provoking discussions that will help answer your questions about how to stay calm, cool, and connected during these times. Welcome to Calm, Cool, and Connected, your guidebook to peace of mind.
Hello, and welcome to Calm, Cool, and Connected. I'm your host, Dr. Elizabeth Bedrick. Joining us today is former Navy SEAL,
Dale McClellan.
Dale has developed an incredible program that utilizes the power of service dogs to help veterans who experience the impact of traumatic brain injuries and post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of their time in the military. Dale is here today to share with us about this program and the benefits of canines in mental health healing. Hi, Dale. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Thank you. Thanks for having
us. So, tell us a little bit about your background as we jump in. So you, as a former Navy SEAL and all that comes along with that, I'm sure that you live with a lot of reminders about your time in the military. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
I joined the military, I think, 1989, joined the Navy, and had an interesting path in the Navy, which took me to the SEAL teams. And I spent 10 years in the military. Most of that was in the SEAL teams. Unfortunately, I was never a canine handler in the Navy, but I wound up doing some canine stuff outside. The time that I spent in there was probably one of the best times of my life. You know, I found my people, if you will, the kind of people that I like to be around and to work with. And it was a life-changing experience for sure.
I'm sure. And just probably really high highs and low lows of just so many different types of experiences that you go through. And now on the other end of that, there's probably with the traumatic brain injury and the post-traumatic stress, how do you see that those things show up for you present day? Like, how do they influence your daily functioning?
Well, I think I struggle most from a lot of anger management and anger issues. I don't know how well they actually can or do. I'm no expert on TBIs or how they diagnose that effect, but I've been going to a lot of different veteran therapy programs, and it's brought a lot of attention to the cognitive ability of how we function and what we do. So in the military, like you mentioned, we're go, go, go. And then when you get out and you're transitioning into the private sector, things aren't as dynamic sometimes. And in that process, I think a lot of us struggle with how to assimilate with everybody else because we're wired a little different.
Sure. And certainly wired a little bit different after your time doing what you did. I think what's really interesting is that anger, a lot of people don't realize, is a manifestation of anxiety, really. And so a lot of the stressors that come along with the experiences that you faced, they're still active. I mean, that is what post-traumatic stress is that they are still active for you, which creates a lot of maybe fears or concerns, anxieties, which then manifests as anger. And so I'm sure that managing all of that and even trying to figure out where it's coming from is probably pretty difficult for you on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's challenging. And it's become more and more on the forefront as I work with other veterans and go to some of these therapy programs, which have been, it's been very interesting to see their struggles and draw some comparisons to those and find a process on how we all move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. When did you realize that canines were beneficial for your mental health and for your healing journey?
It was by accident, really. I've had a lot of pets growing up and I enjoyed dogs, but I never had a working canine. And the program, like I mentioned in the beginning, I wasn't a handler in the military. Unfortunately, the program didn't exist. So I started going to other charitable events, similar to the other therapy programs I was discussing. And in that process, I crossed paths with canine handlers and people that were doing service dogs. And they were gracious enough to offer me a service dog. And I initially did not want it. And it was immensely impactful in my day-to-day life and how I functioned. It was just life changing for me. And I am a dog person. Not everybody's a dog person, but being a dog person and having pets and then getting a working dog changed everything for me. And it had so much of an impact that I wanted to introduce that to other veterans that like dogs or are interested in dogs. So perhaps it could help them too.
I mean, that's, I'm sure. So the connection that comes along with a service dog or, you know, a family dog, but especially when they're trained for that connection and you're able to use them as such, that is, can be really impactful as you're describing. What were some of the things that you noticed? What were some of the benefits that you started to become aware of?
So the bonding process go a little longer than I realized. I kept thinking I was bonded with the animal and the way they were saying, but when that happens, you'll know. And I would say there's something like 50 different functions that canines provide to disabled veterans, from seizures, mobility, PTSD, security, medical stuff. You know, they can provide home protection. They can retrieve prosthetic limbs. They can assist in mobility, detect depression and seizures, rebuild trust issues, help with situational awareness, which is a lot of what my dog does to take away that anxiety that you had mentioned for me, and just rebuild social interactions and communication breakdowns and bring peace and happiness to the family and to that veteran. And it's a really wonderful thing. It's very similar to the equine therapy, I think, that they do Equine for Kids.
Sure. Yeah. And that's a great comparison, because you're absolutely right. A big part of animal assisted therapy in general is the co-regulation that can take place, and that the animals are often in a calmer state of mind and that they can help us do the same. We actually regulate and our heart rates can join up with each other. And so that creates a lot of safety and stability and relaxation. Do you notice that with the connection that you have with your canine, that you can kind of, when you are in a bonding moment, you can feel yourself relax in that way?
Yeah, absolutely. The, you know, nature and then the canine, which is nature, right? The animal, the one animal that seeks out human attention. I've had a few moments that have been challenging, and first couple times the dog approached me, I was like, get away, like, stop it. And she was very persistent in her process of what she was doing, and it was immensely helpful. She definitely can detect when I'm not in a good state of mind or depressed or upset or angry or.
Yeah. Yeah. And knows how to step in and
give
a little bit of peace.
Yeah. And, you know, and not to take away anything from a pet at home, but a dog that is specifically engineered, if you will, to work that process is quite fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a client who had a service dog for a long time for a different reason, but he would talk about that a lot, that the comparison that people make between like a domestic animal and a service dog, that it's just not the same, that there's just a different level of bonding connection that takes place when, I mean, that's really their role, is to take care of you in a lot of ways.
Yes, it is.
Tell us a little bit about the program that you do currently. So did you develop a program? Do you tell us about that?
So I had been exposed to quite a few different charities, and a lot of times the dog was part of that, but I didn't see where the dog was the focus. And then the money that was raised was directly applied back to the canine program. So in collaboration with my son and some friends of mine, we decided to start our own charity, and that's Frog Dog Canine. And the frog, obviously, from the frogman side of things, and then the dog is self-explanatory. So we started with a mission of the idea of maybe trying to provide service animals. The pointy-eared dogs, for example, and I don't know if you can see Amagi back here. This is while he's laying down, but the pointy-eared dogs, from the working standpoint in the military, are very unique animals. And only recently have they figured out transitional processes for those dogs now to go to veterans. And it's not always the best dog for a veteran, a dog that was meant to attack and bite and do other types of things. That doesn't mean they're not great service animals. They are. It just depends on how they're being utilized. And then on the floppy-eared side, whether it's Labradors, Golden Retrievers, there's a lot of really wonderful animals out there that can help. So we started with the idea, to make it a little shorter, to provide service dogs. And that market was flooded in ways that were very interesting. Like I said, there's somewhere around 50 different types of services the dog can provide. And since we started the foundation or the charity, we met a lot of different groups that were doing that and truthfully doing a great job. So then we were like, okay, if we use other people to help get the dogs, then we can raise the money to pay for the dog and get the dog to the veteran. Well, through that process, we have a property in Chesapeake, Virginia, and we were doing little, you know, equine style therapy things out here with the dog. We were bringing different veterans and groups out. We have about a dozen dogs out here right now, between pointy-eared and floppy-eared dogs. And we would come out and create this fireside chat experience where they were spending time with the dogs and we were just working together. And it wasn't intentional. It wasn't by design. But what would happen is we would sit down later and the wife or the girlfriend of the veteran that was out there would come up to me and they'd be like, I haven't seen him like this in years. And I was like, what? What do you mean? And it was then that I realized that what we had unintentionally created out here was an environment and an atmosphere that was very healing through nature and through the canine, so on and so forth. So we decided to shift gears. And what we're doing today is we're raising money to build a therapy and training center for the veteran and the canine. Not just for the veteran, but for the canine. And it's been proven now, there are statistics that show, and the military has recognized it, these dogs providing that type of therapy and the work that they may have done previously also have post-traumatic stress from the related. So for example, if a guy's here at the therapy center and we're doing all these different exercises with the animals, at the end of the day, if the owner or the handler goes to get a massage, we're going to have doggy massages and the dog is going to be side by side kind of through the therapy process while they're out here.
Oh my gosh. I love that. That is so powerful and so important to really assess that experience for the dog as well. I love that you guys are looking at it from that angle because, I mean, you're right. We know that dogs store memory and can have trauma in the same way. You know, when people talk about getting a dog maybe later in life and the way that it interacts with them, maybe it's more anxious. And so what were those earlier life experiences that led to that? So for you guys to put a focus on both of that, and it sounds like so they would be doing their healing journey together, is that the idea?
Yeah. So there'll be a meditation room. There'll be a massage type room. There'll be some exercise stations. We have treadmills for dogs. So when you're working out, the dog's working. We're going to have a full veterinarian facility to take care of the animals while they're out here. A grooming station. So the dog, because I have to admit, I'm the worst at trying to get my dog to take a bath sometimes. So we'll get the dogs all cleaned up and their nails trimmed. And I think it'll be a way for the veteran or the handler that has that service dog. And it's extended beyond veterans. It's veterans, first responders, and Gold Star family members, wives, children, whoever it is, whether it's their own, it doesn't even have to be a service dog per se. It can be their own family dog. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to come out here, work with your animal, train your animal with our trainers, and have that therapeutic experience with your animal at the same time.
Right. And what are you thinking timeline? Like, where are you guys at in this journey?
So we're actively doing retreat activities out here. The infrastructure that's in place is very nice, but we're looking to do quite a bit of expansion. And that includes building the actual therapy center, building an indoor training facility, the veterinarian clinic, some additional birthing so that we can house people in a motel style thing, more cabin orientated, but to where they would pull up and have their own private space. And so we're doing it now, and we're actually just finished some of the engineer drawings, and we're going to start pushing out the conceptual design and try and raise money to facilitate that.
That's incredible. So you had mentioned earlier about that partners or family members would come up to you, like the vet's family members or partners, and talk about how they just notice a shift in that person. Tell me, the vet themselves, or like you're saying, first responders or the other individuals that you're working with that are dealing with post-traumatic stress, what did they say about this experience? How did they say that it influences their daily functioning, their mood states, their mental health? Like, what are the benefits they're seeing?
the veterans themselves?
Yeah.
So it varies. It varies a lot, and that's not to dodge the question. It really depends on the individual and the problems that they are having. For example, my experience with the dog, one of the primary functions, because my particular animal is a protection animal that helps with the other things that we've talked about. And what I find unique about her and what I noticed over time she was doing for me is, you know, not to sound weird, but that whole idea where you hear about a guy when he goes into the restaurant, he's looking for the exits, the restroom, and sizing up people. I mean, that in some extent is very real for highly vigilant, you know, people that are alert and have been in that environment, whether it's a police officer or a soldier or a sailor. And she started picking up that role and that responsibility kind of unbeknownst to me. So she would sense or see things and alert me, whether it was by a bark or a bump or her positioning or how she would pull on the lead, to where she would see things and notice stuff far in advance than I did. And over time, I realized that, if you will, she had my six. So that really reduced my anxiety and my frustration with trying to constantly be alert and know what's going on. And it was even camping, you know, if you go camping now, I'm less concerned about the environment and the things that are out there, because the dog is always in tune with that. And she helps bring me more in tune with that. So I become more in tune with nature and with myself, spending time with her outside and in the woods. And there are other benefits, but that was like the biggest one that I noticed out the gate when I started working with the canine.
That makes a lot of sense why that would be so beneficial for your anxiety. Because again, when we're talking about the threat state, and we're the amygdala, the emotional center of the brain, and that stores sensory memory. And so all of your traumatic experiences are still stored actively in your amygdala. And so anything that can remind you of that in any way, I mean, it could be a smell, it could be something really simple, can alert you to that. And so if you're constantly being alerted, you're obviously constantly anxious and on high alert, as you're describing. And so that is such a powerful thing that you're describing, that she's able to check that out for you, so that you can kind of tell your brain in a way like, yo, relax, like, she's got us here, like, we're going to be okay. And I'm sure just like the sense of relief. And as you described, even like going to dinner, what a difference that makes even for that type of experience.
Yeah, it's very nice.
And so does the program that you guys are setting up, does it allow the veterans to also spend time with each other to build connection? Like, is the idea that the dogs, the veterans, like everyone, it's a community really, that they're all supporting each other?
It is. Thanks for asking. So I've been fortunate now to go to home base, to the Virginia High Performance, the Mosaic Retreat, worked with Force Blue. So watching these other, and I mentioned those because they have been very beneficial to me, and they are great organizations, and they're the ones that I've experienced thus far. And so we've started to, and I say we, my son and the rest of the board, have started to model what we're doing off of what we've learned from them and their lessons learned, right? So when a veteran, a first responder, or Gold Star family member would come here, there'd be no expense to them. And what I liked about some of the other retreats that I went to is I can spend my time in solitude if I want, or I can come to the group sessions. And it made it very comfortable for me to move from one to the other. And it's similar here. The idea is that there would be functions for the fireside chats or group activities where we were working the dogs, or the obstacle course, which has ADA and non-ADA compliant obstacles for you to work both the human and the dog. So we give them the opportunity to work together, to share their stories and to heal collectively, but also allow them time to spend solely with the animal or in nature or in the meditation room and spend that time by themselves.
So important. So important that they really, you're meeting them where they're at. So what they need is how you guys are showing up for them in so many ways. It's a really powerful healing model you guys have set up. It's quite amazing. Where can people learn more about your program, website or social media?
Yes. So we have a website, frogdogcanine.com. And then the Instagram is frogdogstorm. And we're also on Facebook. That's Canine Storm on Facebook.
Well, very good. Thank you so much, Yael, for being here today. I really appreciate you sharing with us all about this truly incredible program.
Thanks. We really appreciate it, the time, and to be able to get our message out. And donations are appreciated from those that can contribute, whether that's, you know, $5 or more. And if you're a veteran and you want our help, give us a call, come out here, spend some time with us and the dogs.
And on your website, is that where people can donate if they...
Yes, there's a donate charity button on the website.
Perfect. Well, thank you again for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you all for tuning into this episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected. Make sure to find us on Facebook and Instagram, and also make sure to rate and subscribe to our podcast so that others can discover our content as well. Thank you again for joining us on this episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected.